Welcome to Toddler Toolkit. Hi, everybody. Today we have Jen Seen here. She is going to help us. We are talking about my toddler isn't napping and is not comfortable being alone to fall asleep. Oh, this is so tough. And what is even quiet time? Like, I never even heard of it before. And then Jen Seen was telling me about quiet time. So this has sparked the idea for us to chat about this today and how to help our toddlers navigate these difficult situations. So welcome, Jen Seen. So glad to have you here.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be back.
If some of our parents, they might not remember or they're new to the podcast, can you introduce yourself and let them know how you help support parents?
Yes. So I'm Jen Seen Casey. I am a pediatric sleep consultant. I'm also a certified postpartum doula, but I mainly help families find sleep situations that work for them. So whether you have a 4-month-old and you're going through the 4-month regression, or you have a 2.5-year-old and they're climbing out of their crib, I'm kind of here to help everybody find what works for them to be able to get the best sleep possible.
Sleep is so important. In fact, I have a story, so story time, to tell you guys about a few weeks ago when I contacted Jen Seen about my toddlers not napping. So I'm sure everybody already knows I have twin toddlers. They're almost 3. And one day they literally just dropped their nap out of nowhere. Like, there was no warning signs. There was no like one day I woke up and they weren't napping. And it was over for me and for them. But because they weren't napping, they also started a cycle of night wakings, especially in my one toddler. When he doesn't get a nap, he's more likely to wake up in the middle of the night and cry. And that broken sleep added to the no naps situation. And it really made me feel like having two toddlers, especially like, maybe twin moms or, you know, toddler moms can't run a business from home while giving, you know, our toddlers the full energy and nurturing, because we're so taxed, when we don't get that nap and that downtime, which is so vital when you have it for that to be taken away. But Jen Seen totally helped me see that, yeah, busy moms that run businesses can do it. They can get their work in even when a nap is dropped. And I will say I was pretty miserable not being able to get my batteries charged. My frustration was higher because I literally thought, like, I was thinking, my business is not going to be able to continue on this trajectory. I want to help parents with their toddlers. I really was thinking, these are real thoughts I was thinking. And I was like, okay, I know Jen Seen helps parents with sleep. I am just going to ask her about this. So I reached out to her and messaged her. And it really made me feel like so much better because, you know, I've been so busy with my business. I don't have time to like look up and research what to do. Like, if my toddlers have dropped their naps, I was just like, no, I'm so taxed out. I can't even think right now. And that's what I told her. I was like, I can't even think. I just sent her a voice message. So have you guys ever felt like this, being a stay-at-home mom or a working mom from home, or even if you go in the office, have you ever felt like, okay, it's like if one little straw breaks, it's like everything's going to come crashing down, right? And with, especially, you might have this situation right now where your toddler maybe isn't napping that well, or maybe they are napping, but you're like worried. You're like, okay, when the time comes, I am worried about this. So let's start talking about naps, but I want to set some intentions for us before we start and get deeper into our chat and ask Jen Seen some questions. So let's do our own self-reflection before we start. I want to know, how well are naps going for your toddler? So we're going to rate this on a scale from 0 to 10. 0 being absolutely awful. This is where I was a month ago. And 10 being like cloud 9. Naps are amazing. So think of this number in your head, and or you could write it down. So just think about how are naps for you right now. I'll give you a moment. All right. So now, I want you to think a little bit in the future, okay? Because in 6 months from now, if naps are tough for you and you know you're going to feel super burned out, like I was burned out within just a few weeks, with naps being a struggle, with dropping naps and it being hard, and like I'm, you know, curious, how is that going to feel for you, right? So is supporting your toddler's sleep something that you can commit to? So 0 is like, no, I just can't. I can't even commit to that. And 10 is 100% I'm in. Think of that number or write it down. So now we have how tough really it is for naps on a scale right now for us. And if we are committed to changing that, right? Doing something about it, taking some kind of action or improving our family home life. And now that we've reflected, I think, you know, you're going to really find our chat even more impactful, especially if you are saying like you are 100% in 10, I am committed to helping the situation. And I think we're going to learn it doesn't have to be, you know, completely like everything is going to completely be so difficult if we commit to this, that I think Jensina is going to ease our kind of anxiety or worries about this. So, all right, let's start talking about quiet time for toddlers. What, Jensina, is quiet time?
Yes. Well, I did want to make a note about what you just said before I dive into that question.
Sure, because
I was just talking to a client and he was saying how he loved how I was able to break, like take everything that needed to be done and just break it down into like, here's what you do. Like you were saying, you were so exhausted. You didn't want to do the research. You didn't want to do all that background stuff. He was like, I love that it was just like, tell me kind of what to do. And like, here's these 4 steps and it was done and they were sleeping again. So I think that that's a really big thing, like a relief, you know, I don't want it to feel like you're adding things to your plate. I want this to feel like it's easier and it's making your life better. Not that it's like, okay, now this is something else that I have to think about and focus on and like work towards, you know? So that's the goal, to make life easier, not harder.
Yes.
But quiet time is really a time when your child has to themselves. It's kind of whatever they need it to be, but it's kind of like, as a mom, think of it as that time when you just like go into your bedroom, you close the door and it's just quiet. You can just rest. You can do what you need to do. You can nap. You can read. You can watch something on your phone. You can doom scroll all you want. Like it's just your time to kind of unwind, focus on you, do whatever your body particularly needs in that moment. And that's what we're offering to our children in the middle of the day as that quiet time.
I love that. And, you know, my first initial thought was like, okay, they're going to be doing their quiet time. My toddler is like highly active. Like they're already crying when it's nap time. Like how is this even going to work? Like, you know, my one toddler told me no naps and he would cry when they went to the bedroom. So, and his other brother is like, loves sleeping, loves naps, like best thing ever. But even he was influenced by his brother that was the one that was crying and like no naps. And so sometimes, actually most of the time, he would stay up with his brother. And after like this attempt that didn't go well, it was like, yeah, I guess we're just, I'm going to get them now. Like, you know, 10 minutes in, it's just not working. And then I felt kind of guilty having them in there too, because I was like, oh, like he's upset. I need to get him. But it's like, oh, but only if they could fall asleep. They need it so bad.
Yeah.
So what are some signs that our toddler might need quiet time that some parents might not be aware of?
Yeah. I mean, I think an important thing is the structure, and we'll probably talk about this in a later question, but how we structure it even. If he's saying no naps, you can say, okay, we're not going to nap. We're going to do quiet time. To us, it means the same thing. But to them, how we're presenting it with the bow is just very different. And they're like, oh, cool. That sounds fun. I'm on board for this. Even though it's the exact same thing, they don't know that it's the exact same thing. But you'll know if your child is protesting the nap. They're saying, I don't want a nap. They're going into a nap, maybe willingly, but then they're not falling asleep. Maybe they're just staying up the entire time and like playing with their blanket, kicking their legs, singing to themselves. and or if it's really impacting bedtime. That's kind of my biggest indication that they're ready to transition away from naps into a quiet time, is if they do take a nap and it's leading to bedtime being 30, 45, 2 hours later than it typically would be, and they're not able to fall asleep because they had that nap during the day.
Oh, so wait, are you saying that because they didn't have the nap, their bedtime is actually could be later, like an hour or two later?
If they don't need the sleep and they are taking the nap, then it is going to delay bedtime because we only have a certain amount of sleep that we need. So as adults, if we take a 4 hour nap, like we're not going to go to bed at the time we normally go to bed. But it's the same with our children. As they're growing, sleep needs decrease during the day, but we still want to keep that same sleep expectation for the night. So if that's getting messed with, then we know, okay, we're going to kind of gently remove the naps and we're going to transition into a quiet time instead. So your body still has that time to rest and recharge.
Yeah. That is super interesting. And I wonder also about getting overtired, because when my toddlers dropped their nap and I was still trying to attempt naps, they actually weren't going to bed any earlier. And, you know, in my head, we were going to go to bed around between 7 and 8 p.m. And in reality, when they skipped the naps, they were actually not wanting to go to bed that early, didn't seem like ready for it. And they didn't even go to bed till like between 8:30, 9:30. And that's a long day when you're up from like 7:30 to like 9:30 at night and there's no nap. And it's like, they're not even, I'm wondering if that's that like overtired piece.
Yes. Like, yep.
Yeah.
So children will kick into like hyperactivity when they are overtired. And if you think of it as like a bell curve, once they like start going on that ramp up to hyperactivity, there's no stopping it. You kind of just have to let it ride until they come back down on the other side. So ideally we try to catch them. If your child is transitioning out of naps, then I do recommend moving bedtime a little bit earlier before they hit that road to overtired. Because again, once they hit it, like we just kind of have to wait and let them get the energy out before they kind of crash on the other side. So if you are in that transition right now, then I do recommend moving nap time up, or else you are going to get into this position where they're overtired, but they can't fall asleep. So they are awake for like 14 hours that day with no nap at all. And that's a very, very, very long day for me. Yeah, even.
Long day for them and for us. Oh my gosh. So what age do we think, or what age do toddlers usually drop their naps? Is it just the signs that we talked about previously, or is there really a certain age? Like, I really thought my toddlers would make it till 3, but we are 2 months short of 3. So.
Yeah. Typically, it's between 3 and 5. Some children are a little bit on the earlier end. Some children are like about to go into kindergarten and we're having to cap their naps because they're not going to be offered a nap during the kindergarten day. So it really depends on the child. Most children will be the trajectory of they're still napping during the day and then we have to like slowly cap it. Well, actually, I'm going to reverse that. Most children are, they're not falling asleep during the day. They're wanting to stay up. They're saying no naps. They're not wanting to go down. A small amount of children will still want that nap during the day. And we're having to be the ones to say, okay, I have to take it from you because we're getting to the point where it's not conducive to your overnight sleep, to what's going to be happening in your days. If you are going to like a public kindergarten, that's full day, things like. So some children, they may not want the nap to ever leave, but we have to be the ones to say, okay, we're going to slowly transition you. You can still have a rest. You can still do your own thing, but I want to move that expectation away from sleep.
Wow, that's the whole other side of the coin there. So that just shows how different the situation can be. You can have a toddler on the younger side that just says no more naps, mom. But you could have an older child that's entering, you know, 4 or 5 years old and wanting to hold on to those naps. So, wow, that's just so different and so individual. Wow.
It is. So, and it could be like one twin to the other. You know, it's not even sometimes like siblings. It's like one twin to the next. So, yeah, it's crazy.
It is. Every kid is so different. What are some benefits for quiet time? So how does that help our toddler's emotional or cognitive development, or even like just their temperament or behavior? How does that help support our toddler?
Yes, it really helps with that emotional regulation of sometimes we all just need that break. We all just need that time to, nobody else is kind of dictating what I'm doing. Nobody else is like imparting these rules onto me. I can just do what my body needs and wants to do. But us as adults have set this safe container for that. So this is not a free for all where there's like paint on the walls and diapers thrown everywhere. And, you know, like here's some specific activities that you can do that have been pre-approved that are not going to have you drying all over the walls. So we created this space for them to just do what they need and want to do. Maybe you do just want to lay in your bed and hang out and relax. Maybe you do want to get up and color and do whatever it is, but you have the autonomy to do that, whatever your body is saying that you need. Where most of the rest of the day, it's kind of us as adults saying, okay, we're going to go outside. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to eat lunch now. Where this time is just you decide what your body needs. And that's for the adults too. You now have this quiet time to say, okay, what do I need to get done? Do I have laundry? Do I have dishes? Does my body just need a rest? And like oftentimes during the summer, we go to the beach a lot or we're outside playing and my children do quiet time and still my 6-year-old and 4-year-old still do quiet time to this day. I'm like, okay, what do I need? Like maybe I didn't drink anything at all morning because I was chasing after the 3 of them. Like maybe I just need to sit with like a popsicle on the deck or something and relax. So it really just gives everybody that chance to just like recalibrate. What do I need? What do I want to do to be able to center and then go into the afternoon with a little bit of a fresh start?
That is so amazing. And I think I love hearing how even if we work on it in the toddler years, that it continues through the early child elementary age years as well. So it's something that is important to add to our toolbox when appropriate and continue it because it models really good, like you said, really good self-regulation, calming, alone time to a certain extent to recharge the batteries, not just for us, but for our toddlers. And I have noticed also like my toddlers, they are more hyperactive in general. So they're not going to give themselves that rest time. And if we don't do naps, then they're on all day and they really need to learn. It's a skill that's super important. And I think, you know, especially of a mom of hyperactive boys, I'm like, yeah, this is a skill I want them to have for the future and for right now too. So super important.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to turn off. It's for everyone. And it's hard to be alone. I think that's us for children, especially we are sometimes hypervigilant. Like someone is always there. Someone is always watching. Someone is always making sure you're doing the right thing or quote unquote. So it's nice to just be alone, just be okay with yourself. Like you were saying, as you grow into an adult, that's super, super important. You want them to be able to just be okay being them and just in their own thoughts and in their own space and in, you know, just to be.
Yeah. I think we could even,
like how many adults conclusions with that? Anybody listening, you know, how hard is that for you sometimes?
Yeah. As well as adults, we're constantly wired to looking at what other people are doing, you know, on our phones or not really spending time with just ourselves. We're constantly engaging ourselves in activities and just taking a moment to do maybe a little bit lower tech, relaxing type activities. So this is also like, there's just so many things I think we can draw with this as far as even, I think we could even say self-esteem and confidence could be linked to this in a lot of ways too. Does your toddler have aggressive behavior? Does your toddler push buttons? Can your toddler not control themselves and does your toddler almost seem to enjoy when you tell them no and do it more, then sign up for the Transform Aggressive Behavior to a Calm, Kind, and Caring Toddler workshop waitlist. The link is in the show notes, and I am happy to support those families that are dealing with this. I know this is not everybody. This is a unique situation that some of us might have, but even if you don't have a toddler this to this extent, but maybe there's little pieces that you were resonating with and you maybe see just a little bit of this, or maybe you're concerned that your child will take on more of these actions, more of these button pushing reactions as they get a little bit older, closer to 3, maybe 4, and you're concerned about that, then this workshop will be really helpful to you as well. So lots and lots of benefits. But what if our toddlers are resisting quiet time? Does that happen? And what if they don't want to do it? Is there anything we can do about that?
Yes, this does happen often. If you're listening to this before you're implementing quiet time, like your child is getting close to 2.5 years, this is something you're thinking about for the future, I recommend moving from nap time to quiet time seamlessly, where you're offering a nap, they're starting to get upset when you put them in, they're starting to refuse the nap. Okay, we're still going to do the same nap time routine, but now I'm going to give you a book or a puzzle in your crib. Now I'm going to give you a Tony box, a Yoda box, whatever it is to help entertain you while you're in your crib. So maybe some of the time now you're playing and some of the time now you're sleeping. And then it's just going to transition to more and more time that's playing instead of the sleeping. But they still have that expectation that I'm in my room, I'm alone, I'm doing these things, whether I'm sleeping or not. When it gets challenging is when naps have gone completely and they are used to being up and about and entertained all day long. And now we're transitioning back into this quiet time that they did not have. That's when a lot of the refusal comes in. And we want to start small, very, very small. And how can we make this as tactile for them as possible? Do this during playtimes, during the day. You stay and play in here, I'm going to go get a drink of water. You stay and play in here, I'm going to go switch the laundry over. So they're used to just being alone for very short spurts of time. Then we move it into the quiet time. Okay, you're going to hear some, what do you want to bring to your room for quiet time? Do you want this or this? When my oldest started his quiet time, it worked out really well because my middle now, I think he was about 2. And my oldest was getting into Legos, smaller Legos. So this was his time, like anything he couldn't play with around his little brother, that was his time to shine. Here are these things that you can't, marbles, Legos, things like that. So he was really excited for his quiet time because it was the time he got to play with things that only big kids got to play with. So how can you make it fun and exciting? Here is this box that you only get at quiet time. Here is like, what toy do you want to bring to your room for quiet time? Then we start with a sand timer. Maybe it starts 2 minutes. Then we go to 5 minutes. Then we go to 10 minutes. Then we have an alarm. If you have a hatch clock, you can use that to say, okay, once your hatch switches color, that means quiet time is over. And we just slowly, slowly build on that time. I do suggest getting up to an hour at least, because we want a significant amount of time for them to be able to do whatever they need to do. Maybe they do play for a little bit and then end up falling asleep. Maybe they fall asleep at the very beginning because it's a summer day. You've been at the beach all morning. They're exhausted. And then they wake up after 20 minutes and they're well rested. And then they're going to play for the rest of the time. So we want a substantial amount of time for them to be able to get comfortable and do whatever their body needs for them to do. So I wouldn't stay at that like 10 minute time, because that's also not enough time for you to do. By the time you close their door and walk out, like half the time is over. So we do want it to build up. But now, I mean, ours is about 2.5 hours. My 2-year-old is still napping. So she will nap in her room when my boys share a room. So we did have to split them up. When my oldest son wasn't napping and my middle still was, my oldest would do his quiet time in our bedroom and my middle would do his nap in their bedroom. So sometimes you do have to get creative of like, okay, how can we move things around? And then my oldest started sneaking back into his bedroom and waking his brother, and they would just play. And then they would be playing too loud. So then we had to move them to like the playroom instead of the room next to my daughter where she was napping. So it ebbs and flows and you kind of have to figure it out for whatever stage of life that you're in and your children are in. But it's definitely doable. It's definitely something that I like highly, highly recommend, figuring out what step am I at and like where can I go from here to make this a regular occurrence.
Yeah, I really like what you said about the independence, how they can kind of become more independent by doing that, but also how to make it fun for them and think about like what can they do that makes it really special. And so those were some really great ideas for us. And now what happens though?
Welcome to look forward to it. We don't want it to be like a punishment, you know?
Yeah.
Not like, oh, you're sent to your room for quiet time. It's like, oh, you get to do this. You get to rest your body. And same thing, you know, we want to say the same kind of positive things about bedtime. You get to rest your body so you can have so much energy to play tomorrow. You get to rest your body so you can have such a fun afternoon. So really, you know, the way that we position it too is important.
Yes, that makes so much sense. And I honestly, you mentioned about the crib. I didn't think that, I mean, my pediatrician never talked to us about this when we saw them last, which I can't remember how long ago that was now. I think it was about 4 months ago or so, like around 2.5. And yeah, we, you know, didn't see anything about quiet time or any resources for that. Maybe they didn't think they needed to share it because my toddlers were so young. So that totally wasn't in my awareness. And then when I heard about the quiet time idea from you, the first thought I thought of was, well, my toddlers are still in cribs. So how is that going to work? But I love how you said, like, yeah, you can still do an activity. Your toddlers don't have to be out of the crib and in toddler beds to be able to do quiet time. And I'm so glad I learned that because I really didn't think of that just because in the past and from my pediatrician always hearing like, yeah, they can have like a lovey in their crib, but that's all you put in there. But then I was thinking like, okay, they can have books in there. There are things that are toddler safe that they totally can have in there being on the younger side. Obviously be careful with things with like maybe flaps or things you can pull out, but like a really sturdy board book, you know, you can put that in there and it's totally going to be toddler proof. So it totally shift my mind. And that's why I was like in a state where I didn't think it was possible in my toddler situation. So that really opened my mind up and it really does work. So we've been implementing it and it really does work. And we are in the realm of the one transition you talked about where we went straight from the nap time to the quiet time. And there was probably a few days that we did totally nothing and they went the whole day, but it was so few days, it didn't become routine. So I guess I'm finding out now talking to you that we were super lucky because we didn't have to reverse that really. It was just, you know, a few days. And I'm thinking about some other challenges too, Jensine. So my boys, they are, you know, they love to be boys and they also do love to throw things. So they will be so excited about their special book in the crib and then they will chuck it. And so I have just been like, okay, well, that's natural consequence. And I'm not going back in the room because if I go back in the room, you're going to want to come out. And it's like, am I on the right track with that thinking there? Or what do we do if our toys throwing things out?
So it's going to depend on the child. For the first time or two, once they throw it out, I would take note of like, okay, this is what they do. So maybe the next time, instead of just putting one book, I'm putting two or three books. I would go in the first time and I would let them know, I'm going to give you back the book. But if you throw it out again, then the book will be all done. So we set that expectation. It's not, I don't want to go in like, guns blazing the first time and say like, you're done, no book, you know? So we want to like give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was an accident.
Yeah.
Maybe they dropped it. So we go in and say, you know, we have to be careful with our books and keep them in our crib because if they fall out, mama's not coming back to put it back in and it will be all done for today. So then if they do it again, the likelihood that it's two accidents in a row is very small. So then you can check in over the monitor and say, you know what? That book is all done. Please pick a new book or pick something out. So I would have like a couple of different things. So everything's not riding on that one book that maybe somehow did accidentally, you know, they fell asleep while they were holding it and it slipped out of the bars or, you know, whatever it is. So having like thinking up front, okay, how can I kind of prevent this from happening? But then when it does happen and they're very purposeful, standing up, chucking them across the room, then it's like, okay, I need to give you that warning to set that expectation. Yeah. But then it is a natural consequence of, well, now you've lost it for the rest of rest time. And then you remind them the next day, remember yesterday you threw all of your fun toys out? Don't do that again today. Make sure you keep them in your crib so you have lots of fun things to play with. So they will get it. It could take them a day or two, depending on the age of the child, just their kind of general temperament. But they will. If you keep to it and just hold those boundaries, they will understand that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like this depends on a child's personality, temperament, and their age. I think some children probably would get really upset. Even if they threw the book intentionally, they might get really upset that then they lost it, while other children might just be fine with it. And it's like it is the natural consequence. So, and I love your idea of having a few items just in case they did throw one, because toddlers do like to test. They do like cause and effect. So in the instance that they did the cause and effect, then regret it. And you don't want them to get super upset in their crib. I love the idea of having a few other books or activities in there as well. Are there any other hiccups?
No, it's mostly about the activities. Okay. So if you are concerned, but like from a safety standpoint, ideally you're probably awake. And if you do have a monitor there, like you can watch what they're doing. So it's not going to be something where, you know, you're concerned about their safety or something like that. So you definitely can allow them to have things in their crib that aren't going to be a danger, or small pieces that they could swallow or whatever. Other than that, it would really just be like a lot of parents are asking about, would ask what ideas of like what to do. So like the Color Wow books, the magic, like Crayola has those ones that Color Wonder. So the Color Wow, I think, is the wet one with the paintbrush. The Color Wonder is the markers that only color on that special paper, which, and then you have to continue to buy the paper. So that it was a great idea for us up front, but then my son would like scribble on all of them in one day. And it's like, okay, well, that was like a $10 packet of papers that you just colored all over. They like books, small puzzles. If you do have some kind of like the Tony box, my boys love that. My daughter uses that now for her nap time. She'll just put something on and then she does lay right down and go to sleep mostly. Things that are safe, that are entertainable, that you don't have to assist them with. Really, that's the big piece. Nothing that you're concerned, like paints or even colored pencils, crayons, I don't recommend, because that can just make a huge mess. Something that you are 100% comfortable with them using unsupervised. Even like Play-Doh, I'm not a huge fan of, because in the crib, like that can get everywhere. So really just thinking through like, what is the absolute worst case scenario for this particular item? And am I prepared to deal with that consequence if it does get to that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Our toddlers can be quite creative too. So definitely that's a good thing to think of. I forgot to ask you a question earlier that I wanted to, and it was about the lights. So I ended up doing lights for their nap time. So I'll do a night light, and then I don't remember what they're called, but they're just like these little toddler lights that you plug into the wall. They're popular. They change colors. And so I just put like two lights on so they could see their books, and I didn't have the lights fully on, because I was like, if they fall asleep, it'll be nice. It'll be a little bit darker, but we don't want to be too dark that they can't do their activity. So I started doing that. And then I was like, okay, this might affect the nighttime. They could demand that they have the light, but so far so good. I've just told them, they've asked, and I just said, that's for quiet time only. You get to do that tomorrow. But for nighttime, we're turning the lights out. And so far it's been okay. What do you think about that?
That's exactly what I would recommend.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's perfect. that you've held the boundary of like, this is a little bit different from this. That's perfect. Children are really good about understanding the differences between the two. I do, for this age, because one or both of them may end up napping, I do recommend having the light on so they can see the activities, but by keeping the overhead light dark. Once it switches, so you know they're not falling asleep. They haven't, neither one of them has fallen asleep in, I would say, like 2-3 weeks consistently. Then I would say it's okay if you want to leave the overhead light on because they're only doing activities. That's perfectly fine. And then if one, you had a super busy morning and one does end up falling asleep and they fall asleep with the lights on, that's not going to be the end all be all. But yeah, you kind of gauge where your children are and what they're doing in that time. And then you would adjust the lights accordingly.
Okay. There is so many things to think about. It seems like really setting our toddlers up for success with the alone time, being comfortable alone and quiet time. There is so much parenting involved in that. And also I could see how it could, some things like talking to you sheds a lot of light where we wouldn't be having power struggles, where we can implement effective strategies for quiet time, make it a positive, fun experience. But there is it. Even though it seems like something simple, they're talking to you, it seems like, wow, there is really so much to learn and so many aspects and individualization of quiet time, depending on your toddler. So this has been really fascinating and eye-opening talking to you, Jensine, about the quiet time. Is there a story that you would like to share about quiet time, either a personal story or from a client you've worked with, or I also am happy to share what you recommended to me and how that changed significantly my family life with my toddlers implementing quiet time.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear your story. Okay. I think I know a little bit of it, but yeah. I would love to hear yours and like what specifically works for you.
Yeah, so I really thought like it was, like I said, the end. It was the end for me. My toddlers dropped their nap. But doing quiet time really with the information that Jensine gave me really helped. And it was really seamless. We went from no naps and then went to right to quiet time. And there was no power struggles. They now nap about 20% of the time. It really just depends on the day and everything that they did in it. Kind of like you were saying, like a busy day at the beach or something like that, that might be more conducive to that 20% of the time. And so it was 0% before, and they were cranky. They weren't in a good mood. They were waking up in the middle of the night. And we went from that to them being, you know, from 10 minutes in screaming mama and crying and me going and getting them. We went from that to them happily being in their cribs for an hour. And even though they throw their books out of the crib, because that's just their kind of personality and temperament, even though they do that, they still stay in the crib for an hour and are talking and singing songs and happy and talking about the day. They're just doing that. I have my monitor. I got my workout back in. So my 20 to 30 minute workout. And it brought 3.5 hours. Yes, 3.5 hours back to me being able to work on my business, which includes this podcast. So yeah, the stress is down. My business can still happen. My toddlers are in a happier mood. So yeah, yeah. And so I'm so glad I reached out to you because honestly, yeah, I'm glad I didn't just continue where I was. I think in the beginning we talked about like how was our toddler sleep time, either, you know, bedtime or nap time, like on a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being like awful, 10 being like amazing. And I'm glad I didn't stay stuck there. And I'm glad that I didn't stay stuck there, but in 6 months from now, we weren't still doing the same thing. Cause I think about, wow, like how would have that affected everybody in the family? So super.
That's a lot of podcast episodes.
It is too many missed podcast episodes, so that can't happen. is there anything else that you'd like to share about quiet time
working? No, I think...
Okay.
No, yeah, it works. That's the only thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jensine is going to help us, especially if your toddler is struggling with quiet time and your child is having trouble falling asleep or being alone with ease. So that's what you specialize in, right, Jensine? Can you let us know a little bit about the next steps? If you've listening to this episode and you're like, okay, this is totally me and I definitely want to do something about this, what are the next steps, Jensine?
Yes. So I can send you something to put in the show notes just about how to contact me. You can follow me on Instagram at babyoandI. I can leave a link for like a free guide for this kind of toddler age about helping your child be able to fall asleep easier. So I will make sure that is all there for you to access.
That is so amazing. Thank you so much, Jensine, for shedding light on this topic and giving us a little bit more confidence in our parenting.
Yes, of course, anytime.
All right. Bye, everybody.
And that wraps up another episode filled with tools and insights to help your parenting journey have clarity and ease. Remember, every child is unique, and so is our experience, especially when there's more than one. Keep celebrating those small victories and learning along the way. I'm Heather, your Twin Mama Guide, and until next time, here's to raising skilled, self-regulated toddlers who listen, learn, and love. Take care, and see you soon.